Thank you, ladies. As usual, that was beautiful. We have our newest little member. Welcome to our church. It was once said, look where you are going. You will inevitably go where you are looking. Where your vision is, there is your destiny. So, to where and to what are we looking to today? And as of late, last week, the week before. No doubt many of us drove to church today. We have driven to this church on many Sundays, and we probably take the same routes to and from home or to wherever it is we're going. We know intuitively where we are going, on what streets to turn left, and on what streets to turn right. However, knowing all of these things alone would not get us to church or to any destination if we were to take our eyes off the road. When driving, we must be attentive and focus on the road ahead. We must look to where we are headed and steer in that direction. Just think what would happen if we paid no attention to the road ahead while driving, but rather looked to the right, looked to the left, or looked up in the sky at the birds, or looked at the trees and the people on the sidewalk, and whatever else beckoned to our attention. Well, if we drove in such a manner, I can assure you we would not have made it to church today. The consequences of inattentive driving are well known. Just 2 weeks ago, a truck driver on the Beltway was not paying attention and veered off the road, shut down the Beltway for the entire day. A tanker in the road. And then there's the news of those losing their human lives and causing the loss of lives of others because they were texting while driving, because they were not paying attention to the road. Conversely, let us consider the archer and the marksman, those that practice and practice and practice, so that their aim is true, their concentration of focus are keen, and thus they are able to hit the bullseye at every attempt. They become winners of their competition and receive medals and acclaim. And so it is, my friends, that we have eyes to see, but that which they focus upon is up to us. And so it is that what we focus upon or do not focus upon has consequences out here in the world and in the realm of spirit as well. Did you know that the eyes are considered to be one of the most important symbolic sensory organs? Eyes can represent clairvoyance, omniscience, all-knowing, and a gateway into the soul. Other qualities that eyes are commonly associated with are intelligence, light, vigilance, moral conscience, and truth. As a matter of fact, the act of looking someone in the eye when speaking with them is a Western custom that supposedly equates to the degree of someone's honesty. But spiritually, the eye means so much more. Such is the case with the single eye that the Master Jesus spoke of. Metaphysically, the single eye has everything to do with the seeing of and focusing on God. Everywhere, at all times, It is about acknowledging only the light of truth within us all and looking beyond the era of ego and the material world of flesh, this temporary world of effect. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The light of body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, here Jesus is clearly telling us that if our eye, our spiritual discernment, is focused and stayed on God, if the focus is on the truth of our spiritual being, which is good and very good, then our hearts, our bodies, and our minds are going to be full of light and full of goodness. But if our eye, our thoughts, or attention are focused outward, acknowledging sickness, lack, fear, and the trappings of this world, then our whole body will be full of darkness. The law in this case is no different than in a situation wherein we are driving and take that left turn instead of the right. Here in our library at this moment, right now, there's natural daylight and electric light coming to us through our eyes. We look about us and we see the light. However, when we close our eyes, and we can do that right now, when we close our eyes, we can no longer see the light. But it's still there. But it has been shut off since we made a decision to close our eyes to it. Thus, we experience a sense of darkness. However, if we open our eyes, we again see the light. Close them, there is a sense of darkness. Open them, there is the light. And so forth and so on. In this instance, as it is throughout our entire lives, we, you and me, make a conscious decision as to what we see. We see the light, or we see the darkness. We see truth, or we see error. So too is it with the mind, with the mind's eye. We can direct our thinking and our thoughts to God, our truth, and focus on all that God is and we are, and thus experience the good light of our being, the Christ of us. Or, through ego and the desire of the flesh, we can direct our thoughts and attention to the things of the material world out here, and experiences a limited life in darkness, lost in Egypt, in a sense of separation from God. It is a matter of choice, my friends. It's our choice, day in and day out. And so it is that one cannot look to the material world and think on error and expect to experience good. The only way for goodness to be demonstrated is for it to come from a consciousness filled with God. And as said by one of our former ministers, a dog cannot have kittens, and a cat cannot have puppies. What we think on, what we desire, what we covet, what we think upon with feeling, shall be brought forth out here as the product and reflection of the very mind that created it, good or not good. So where do we look to in the course of our waking hours? All of us here, myself included. Do we look within to the light of our being, to the truth, to the Christ that lives us, to our glory, to our Father? Or do we focus our attention to that which is out here in front of us, that which appeals to the ego, to the human senses, the mental senses of want and desire? If we truly seek peace and contentment in our lives, we shall learn to turn within throughout the day. But as we know, this is easier said than done. Thus, we often find ourselves vacillating, going within one moment, but then looking without the next. And as it is written, the mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so it is that through the eyes of the flesh, through the sense of duality of good and bad, we shall fail to fully realize the eternal and loving presence that lives us. All because our frame of reference, because we are too busy looking for wholeness without. And such is the existence of a double-minded man and woman, unstable in all of their ways. And as written, no man or woman can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? My friends, we do not need the Bible to tell us and to instruct us about life out here, about the issues and the cares of the temporary life out here, the material things, those things such as a sense of importance, a lofty title, powerful position, wealth, and all the things that are fleeting and temporary. There are many stories in the Bible regarding those that had a single eye. They are the ones that went forward overcoming all adversity that came their way. They are the ones that knew their spiritual being. They knew who they were and let the light that lived them do the work going before them. It was Abraham, David, Esther, Moses, Joshua, Paul, Peter, and of course, there was the Master, the Wayshower, Jesus, who told us to look in one direction only, and that was to look within, to the Father within. This being the case, then, why are untold millions and millions and millions of people around the world still looking without? Still caught up in a world of babble, of ignorance. Those with eyes but unable to see. Those with ears but unable to hear. As Paul said, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What does that mean? How do you look at something that's not seen? How is that possible? Well, isn't it the case that which we dwell upon, that which we think upon and ponder in the deep recesses of our mind, that occupy our thoughts, that which we think on and desire, brings forth within our minds a picture, a vision of that thing? There are things that are not out here, seen with our physical eyes, but rather they are pictures and visions held in our minds and in our hearts. Let's take, for instance, your favorite vacation spot, a location that you love to visit. Or think upon your best friend, the person in which you are in love with, a loving parent, a sibling, your children. Think upon them And you see them. You see them in your mind. They are there. Clear as day. And so it is that when I say to you, do you see what I mean? I am not asking whether you can see it with your physical eyes, but rather, does your mind, the eye of your mind, perceive and understand what I said? Do you see what I mean? And so it is that you then see through your intellect, and your mind is now serving as your eyes. And this is the case in the spiritual sense and the meaning of the single eye. Because as we attune our minds to God and to His kingdom, we are able to clearly see spiritual truths. We are able to perceive and comprehend the absolute light and glory of God, because our attention and our focus is of a searching quality of mind that selects only that which is good. This is why we are told to go into the closet, the inner place of union, and shut the door, so that our prayers are pure and not tainted with the distractions of the outer world. Jesus refers to this place of union as thine inner chamber. And it is also known as the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High. But those that look outside of themselves for answers, those that know not to keep the mind stayed on thee, on the Father within, shall never experience such a place as their focus is elsewhere. When Paul was commissioned to preach the gospel, he was commissioned to open the eyes of the blind. The word of God spoke to him from within, saying, I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Obviously, this was not about Paul opening physical eyes, but rather to share in truth, to facilitate the realization and the understanding of God, so they too would be made aware of their perfection, an eternal being in the Father that lived them. Helen Keller, who as we know was physically blind and achieved so very much, said, the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but has no vision. And so, even the Bible offers up examples of those who could see physically but were unable to stay focused on the greater good, on God, their Father, on the light of the Christ that lived them. One example is Lot's wife. As Lot and his two daughters and his wife were fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah, they were told to not look back. But his wife did look back, and she became a pillar of salt. Of course, there is a metaphysical meaning for this story, as there is for every Bible story. But the point here is that she'd not have the single eye. Rather, she was attuned to and focused on the call of the flesh, with thoughts of error centered on the material world that Sodom and Gomorrah represented. Error and limitation, which are still in the world of flesh today. And then there was the rich young man, I'm sure we all know about him, that wanted to follow Jesus, but would not and could not do so because his focus was on his material possessions, on his wealth. He could not look away from that which he loved most, riches and his earthly material wealth. This young man knew not that truth and prosperity is being rich in spiritual ideas, out of which comes great abundance, eternal abundance, based on an understanding of God and His righteousness. The rich young man had the eyes of the world, but not the single eye, the mind focused on the divine. For if he had, he would have understood that all things would have been added on to him, to include the kingdom of God. My friends, some love this world so much that it swallows up their love for the truth. And as one's false and temporary sense of worldly treasures increases, their interest in the eternal heavenly treasures decreases. The more people possess of this world, the more they focus on it and cling to it, as if fearful that their coveted treasure would be taken from them. The more they possess, the less they have to bestow upon others and share. For the more they have, the poorer they feel. Their material possessions, their money, their status are their gods. And these are their points of reference to that which they look to for their good. But unless they turn toward the light and stay attuned to it, true happiness and the glory of God shall not come unto them. And so the author once wrote, "Oh, the deceitfulness of riches! They will not see and feel the wants of the cause of God." And so said Paul, "I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, the eyes of your spiritual understanding being opened." We are very blessed, my friends, because in particular, through our truth teaching of divine science here at this church, we have learned, and we know that there is no God separate and apart from us. There is no God high up in the sky somewhere, sitting on a lofty throne, waiting for us to be worthy enough to measure up. So we shall never do that in the flesh. We know that there is no holy grail, no treasure of spiritual, magical, and mystical secrets to be found on Mount Ararat, or in the discovered ark, or somewhere hidden in the catacombs of Jerusalem, or buried at the exact spot of the crucifixion. All of this is interesting indeed, and it makes for good movies and books, but it is fiction. All is here, right now, within each of us, the very light of Christ, in all of its brilliance and eternal goodness, is sure for all of us that wish to realize it in consciousness and live in it as it lives us. You do not have to become like Indiana Jones and go off into the vast wilderness of the hinterworld hoping to discover the basis of life, the so-called secrets to eternal living, or our true identity and purpose. To do so is folly. It is to look amiss, to give attention in a direction away from our truth, to a world without that leads to dust. The allegory of the single eye has everything to do with man's sense of duality and to where we look for our truth, within to our spiritual or eternal Father, or without to the trappings of the temporary world of effect. Every person that has and shall enter this world, each one of us here today, as we experience a worldly plane of existence, shall come to commit our lives to one of two treasures, depending upon our focus, mammon or God. There are many words of wisdom in Scripture to tell us that we are one with the Father, that we can live in wholeness, health, joy, and peace. But for that to happen, we must seek God with all of our hearts and all of our minds. We cannot serve God and mammon at the same time, my friends. And when two masters call upon us at the same time, we have to choose which master to follow. In cleaving to one, we automatically reject the other. And as it is said, let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. So here we are at this moment, having a lesson that reminds us to look only to God for our goodness, to use a single eye, the mind spiritual eye, to remain focused on the truth of our being. And hopefully, the message of this lesson has resonated, and we are right now thinking that, yes, I shall keep the single eye. I shall look within, only to the good of my being, to my Father, to my truth, and I shall not be distracted with the things going out here in the outer world. Hopefully, we're all telling ourselves that right now. So, knowing what we know, and understanding to where and to what we are to give our attention, why is it very probable, my friends, that just an hour from now, 2 hours from now, we shall find ourselves not as focused on God as we are at this very moment? And so it is that although throughout today and into tonight, we may be making conscious remembering to keep our eyes single, it is probable, very probable, that within 24 hours from now, or even the moment we leave this church, that some anxiety, concern, fear, or anger shall come to us because of the outer circumstances that appear before us as real. So, what do we do when these things of the outer seek to enter our consciousness? Well, we say, in thought and with conviction, that which Jesus said, "Get thee behind thee, Satan. Get thee behind thee." In other words, my friends, we go back within. We go back within time and time again. We turn within to truth. And we see nothing but God and His perfection within us, through us, above us, all about us, as us. And as a psalmist wrote, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." And so, to help us stay attuned to our truth, for us to keep the single eye, we must practice His presence in every way possible. While at work, while on a walk, while at home with loved ones, while on travel, when waking up, and when getting ready to retire for the evening. At each of these times, we can consciously think on the idea of God, on some aspect of God, on some spiritual teaching of Jesus. With my whole heart, I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. And thus we are to be single-minded, keeping God, our eternal Father, in the forefront of our consciousness, looking only to the light and turning away from the worldly call of doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, and all that is effect and not of God. We do this time and time again. We seek Him. We practice His presence. And by doing so, we know for certain that the promises of Scripture shall echo through our entire being. And we shall know peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Today, we affirm the truth of our being as spiritual children of our perfect source. We give thanks for the realization that the eternal Father that lived Jesus over 2,000 years ago lives us today, right now, this very moment. And the Christ of each of us, when we die to ego and personality, shall come forth in all of its goodness and all of its love. As we seek to know God all the more, as we go within all the more, as we keep the single eye focused on our glorious truth, we shall be able to say, I am finally home. I am at peace. I want for nothing. I am whole. I am complete. I am. Shall we make this lesson practical today and into the future? Will you join me now in our closing meditation and let this lesson into your consciousness? Please close your eyes. Relax your body. Sit comfortable in your seats. Be still. Father, immersed, full and complete in your eternal good, my heart is filled with bountiful praise and gratitude for the eternal and unconditional love that is mine as your beloved child. I give thanks for the grace bestowed upon me even during those times when ego and personality seek their empty ways. You are my shield and buckler, Father, and there is no weapon formed against me that shall ever prosper. How blessed I am. Let your light shine forth from within me, dear God. Let my utterances out here in the world be words of joy, of love, of understanding, of peace, and of a great sense of thanksgiving as your blessed child. Father, for the awareness of your loving and giving presence that is here and now, in all of its glory and all of its power, O most loving God, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives you thee peace. Amen.
Speaker speak there. I chose to have him to speak here. Mr. Tomasky is going to come up, and after his speech or his presentation, then you may go downstairs and have your coffee and refreshments. Now, if you all just need to go and get a cup of coffee, okay.